get you out of your nap?
Oh, no, I've had it. How you feeling?
I've been trying to. I dozed off a little. Old Joe Fowler waked me up. I've been feeling like hell. I've got more damn headaches than the farmer's got fleas, or dog's got fleas than the farmer's. I want to know how dangerous what your attitude is. I don't want to quote you. I just don't want to insult you, and I don't want to have your belly aching after it's over with. I don't want to go around you. I have refused to sign on to anything in the Senate or to let them connect me with anything. And as far as I am out on our tax bill, as I have said this, that I have submitted the best budget that I know to submit, and I got it from both sides. Mahon's people think it ought to be cut, and I said, okay, cut it. The other people, which represent a majority of the senators and a good block of Democrats in the House, not the Southerners, not the Republicans, but a good block of Democrats, tell me that I'm not doing near enough in the cities, and I'm not providing leadership, and the country's going to burn down and all this kind of stuff. I didn't endorse the civil disorders report, and therefore, they've got to have a change, and I'm responsible for the crime and all this stuff that Bobby Kennedy's talking about. So now Joe Fowler has been just going crazy, and he is going crazy. The poor fellow's going to wind up just frantic, as is Bill Martin. That's more than I ever saw, as are my economic advisors. I just meet with them and meet with them and meet with them. Unless we do something. So they've got down now to where they think they can get. I don't think they can at all, and I've told them I didn't. But they get these beautiful figures, and they go to, like, Andrew H. Brown, his Fresh Air Taxi Cab Company. Did you ever hear Amos and Andy and, down in Arkansas?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, they talk just like Amos and Andy, just like Andy with these figures. They say out of 32 Republicans, they can get 30 of them. I don't think they can. They say they got 11 Democrats. That's all they can get, but if I'd let them go and I'd help them a little, they might get 20 more, 8 or 9 more Democrats, give them 20. That means overriding the chairman of the Finance Committee. And I would think it means insulting the House Ways and Means, but they think if we get that sentiment, they would favor a 9.8 tax bill and $10 billion cut in appropriations, at least $5 billion expenditures. Now, they think they can pass that. I said, all right, what does Mills do about it? Well, we'll have to see that sentiment and so on, and they get very vague. I said, well, I don't want it in the paper, and I don't want to commit Mills, but I don't want Mills coming around saying, well, the president went over and tried to run me, and I'll show him what the hell to do. I'll cut his Peter off. They're unable to tell me. Now, I don't know whether that's a good move or not. I don't trust them enough. I don't think we're going to have a tax bill unless you're for it. I don't think we'll ever get the sentiment for it until you go telling the country that, by God, it's dangerous. Now, if you don't feel it's dangerous, I just think we're going to hell. That's what I think. I don't think I can do it. I don't think all the horsepower I got can move it one damn inch. It hasn't for 3 years. 1966, I called them down. They said I would get 4 votes in the Ways and Means Committee for it, and the businessmen wouldn't support it then. Labor is just, George Meany just called up with, by God, blood in his eyes and dashed over and wanted to bring a whole committee to see me last Thursday. But he understood that I had agreed to cut $4 billion out of these programs, and it was terrible, and Henry Fowler was wrecking the world. And I said, well, now just hold your horses. That's not true. We haven't agreed to a damn thing. We'll talk to you before we do agree. But please let us negotiate so you'll have some jobs. Martin said we're going to have 15% interest. Your housing's already closing down. Your savings and loans are getting hit. You got a hell of an inflation. You got everybody's building doing more than we thought, by God. We plant equipment, everything else. The whole world's lost confidence in us. They've given us a few days' time to put our house in order, and we're not going to do it. And so you're going to wind up here with a debt ceiling. You're going to wind up getting the living hell butchered out of you anyway, and you better do a little planning. Well, where would it be cut? I said, well, I'd try to take $2 billion out of non-defense if I could, non-Vietnam defense. And I would hope that we could get some formula that make everybody else suffer a little bit. We'd take some out of space, and some out of supersonic, some out of agriculture, some out of health and education and welfare, some out of poverty. And when I got through with him, why, he wasn't agreeable, but he wasn't so wild, and at least didn't denounce me. And he said, well, I can't support it, but I'll try not to denounce you. Now, the question Mr. Fowler is just frantic about, and I am telling you he is frantic. I'm not going to be surprised you don't have a problem with the new Secretary of Treasury, because I'm afraid he's sick. But he is panicky. He said, I'm telling you, we're going under. We're wrecking this country, Mr. President. And I can get this passed if you'll just give me a green light to go to Mansfield, get Mansfield and Dirksen to offer this amendment. And we cannot live with the Williams Amendment because you've got no exceptions on Medicaid or on anything except the interest on the public debt and one other item, I forgot what it was. Something he doesn't estimate CCCs, he doesn't exempt Medicaid and Medicare and that stuff. And said we've got to improve that language, but I can get Mansfield and Dirksen if you'll let me go up there now and go to work on it. I said, well, where's George Mahon? Well, he hasn't got that. He's going to meet with you and Mahon tomorrow. I said, well, you better meet with him first. I don't want mails going around and telling this goddamn Wall Street Journal and these fellas quietly without the background that Johnson thought he was a smart one and tried to screw him in the Senate. Because I'm not going to screw you. I'm going to put this on you. If you don't think the country's going to hell, why, then maybe it's not. Maybe I'm wrong. But I think it is. I think we're the most dangerous thing I ever saw in my life, and I think it's going to blow right in our face and ruin all of us, and all of us go down together, and I may go down anyway, but all of us on this. I really honestly think that. And I don't think that I can take the lead in wrecking my programs. I just don't believe I can. I just don't believe I'll have any support. I don't think the Southerners like me to begin with. I know damn well the Republicans are not going to like me. And if I run off all the regular Democrats, I'm in a hell of a shape. And I know what Dick Hughes will do, and I know what Dick Daley will do, and I know what Ohio and Pennsylvania and Joe Barr, head of the mayor's conference in Pittsburgh, will do. And if I just go out here and say I'm going to do it, I know what Meany will do, and that's about all the support I got left. And I'm sure Dale don't want to make you mad, and you and Mansfield and Albert are kind of my leaders. And hell, if I ain't got you, I ain't got the leaders. I'm just a coach without any halfbacks out there on the field. I just tell them, go run, play 29, but they ain't a damn human to pick it up. So I can't win a game under those circumstances. Now tell me what the hell to do.
I told Joe the other day I thought it might clear the air a little bit if he had the votes to get something adopted on this bill, with the understanding that it might be knocked out in conference. But once the Senate goes on record, I think it might help in the House some. It wouldn't help to do it right now, but within a few weeks it might. We just haven't got the votes in the House yet. But if the Senate takes this step, I think it might help us to clarify the air a little bit in the House.
What I'm afraid of is when we go to agreeing that we're going to cut these programs, and they have to, they get out and go to telling you, looking, where are you going to do it, like I did with Meany. Now, some of it's coming out of poverty, Mr. Mills. Some of it's coming out of health, Mr. Mills. Some of it's coming out of education. Some of it's coming out of HUD. Now, all of them say you're not doing near enough, and I'm just catching hell from them. Catching hell from the New York group and the Pennsylvania group and the Illinois group, every one of them, California, just saying that that's what's wrong with me. I will not support the cities. Now, when they go to getting those figures and it goes to coming out, I think we're going to be further away because they're going to say, oh, we ain't going to cut that. I think the only way we're going to get it cut is like I did last year. When they get through, then